Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rolling right along, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Malusis and Bogish with you. It is Taz and the Moose. Taz is off here on this Friday morning. Pete the Body and Mikey B across the way. AB not only co-hosting with me, but also he's got update duties as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific. Number to call 855-212-4CBS. Can't play it talking. Number to call 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
So let's get to it. What do you need to know as you head off to work this morning? Here's the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Browns win. Browns win. The Cleveland Browns win. They do. Come back from 14-0 down. Thursday night football. Last night at home against the New York Jets. A tough loss for the Jets. Leading that game 14-0 against a team that had not won a football game in, 635 days?
Hadn't won in primetime since 2014.
Crazy.
You all remember that crazy 24-3 win over the Bengals on that Thursday night back in 2014.
Of course.
We haven't spent enough time crushing the Jets for last night.
Yeah, brutal loss. Because the headline really is Mayfield.
Of course.
And he's going to be the talk of the National Football League for the next couple days. As we inch closer and closer to third NFL Sunday of the calendar year. But Mayfield was brilliant last night, 17 to 23, 201 yards, made little to no mistakes. One was after the fumble recovery by the Cleveland Browns, what should have been an interception in the end zone. Unfortunately, the Jet defensive back let the football hit his shoulder pads, and it bounced out of bounds. So aside from that, Mayfield looked like he was ready to go. Looked like the number one overall pick. Throws had zip on it. Throwing absolute seeds. He was accurate. There's a reason why the Browns went with Baker Mayfield number one overall. They believe, and statistics showed it, and game film showed it, he was the most accurate downfield thrower of any quarterback in this draft class. And you saw it last night. He was throwing absolute seeds out there, Bogish.
Yeah, and we're watching again. The highlights are rolling across our monitors right now. And, you know, credit to Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, too. When he goes into the game, there's less than 2 minutes left in the second quarter. They know Tyrod's got an issue. They don't know right away that he's not coming back into the game, probably. They could have very easily three handoffs, you know, clock management, get to
easily.
Halftime, reset. At a shotgun, multiple wide receivers, a couple of throws down the field, and they kick 3 points and keep going from there. They put him in. They didn't hold him back. And he rose to the occasion in every possible way. You know, they came back from break, Fox did. On NFL Network last night. And he's sitting there, and he's scrolling through the iPad, and they tell you, Aikman and Buck, that he just got called over to the phone to talk to the coaches upstairs. And he stepped on the field. The camera was there when he got the huddle together for the first time. The other 10 guys were ready to go. And again, very respectfully, Hugh Jackson after the game saying, I'm not ready to discuss who's my starting quarterback, but everybody knows who his starting quarterback is now.
Right, Mayfield. I think to hit upon the point that you just made, I think it's more of a test of being respectful to Tyrod Taylor, who left the game last night with a concussion. Here is Mayfield on the starter's job.
Not focused on that, you know. Yeah, singular focus, going to enjoy this one. It's Coach Haley said it's like winning twice. You play on Thursday and then you get to watch everybody else lose on Sunday. So going to enjoy it right now, and then we'll see what happens next week.
You know, and here's the other here's another quote from Mayfield, another cut from Mayfield, where everyone drew comparisons to Manziel. Mayfield didn't make it about himself after the victory last night. Take a listen.
I was never trying to put too much on my shoulders, just trying to do my job, get the ball out in their hands. You know, when you can do that, they're going to make plays for you. And these guys are the best in the world at what they do. And so that's what my mindset, you know, that's where I was at.
Yeah, and the singular difference is Mayfield wants to be a great football player. He wants to be a franchise quarterback. He doesn't necessarily need to be a star. And we said it time and time and time again that the comparisons between him and Johnny Manziel were complete and utter nonsense. And you saw it after the game last night, and the Mayfield era in Cleveland is underway. Andrew mentioned the Jets. Disastrous loss. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're up 14-0 on the road in Cleveland. That place is booing. Tyrod Taylor looks terrible. He gets knocked out of the game. In steps Mayfield. You're still up 14-0, and you have the fumble. You have penalties. Think about it. We played the Philly special two-point conversion. Let's not forget, that was the Browns' second crack at the two-point conversion, too, due to a defensive holding call on the Jets. The first one was Mayfield got pressure. The ball was incomplete. So the Jets, whether it be penalties, whether it be turnovers, lost fumble, two picks by Sam Darnold, they did themselves in.
Yeah, and I've watched the two-point conversion now multiple times. And if you haven't seen it yet, Mayfield starts in a pistol formation, which is not full shotgun. There's a running back behind him. And like Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, he starts to creep away from center towards the left tackle. Not one Jet defender, none of the seven guys standing up, Moose,
recognize that.
Follows him, points. There's nothing.
Crazy.
He creeps out, direct snap, flip to Jarvis Landry. He comes running out. There's somebody in his face as he's throwing it. But there's nobody within, I don't know, 20, 30 square feet of Baker Mayfield in the end zone.
No, he was wide open. Absolutely wide open. An easy throw. That tied the game up at 14. And at that stage, you had every right to, even with the game tied at 14, even after the Jets took the lead 17-14.
Which was a good response drive by Darnold.
I still felt that the Browns were going to come down and win the football game. Based on the magic that it would just had, if you've watched enough football, you had that vibe and feel that Mayfield was going to win that game last night, and eventually he did. Here's the Jets rookie quarterback Sam Darnold after all the accolades opening week. Two down performances against Miami and Cleveland. Here he is after last night's loss.
From my point of view, I just got to play better. Simple as that. You know, not acceptable the way that I played tonight, and I know that, but also got to take it like a man. I feel like I'm, responsible.
And here is, we mentioned mistakes. We mentioned the Jets killing themselves last night. Here's their head coach, Todd Bowles.
We lost our composure, and I told the team that we lost our composure, and we should be pissed off up until we play the game next weekend, and that's the way it's going to be.
There you go. Whether it be penalties, losing their composure into a man, a lot of guys in that room did agree with their head coach. But to the victor go the spoils. Everyone's drinking Bud Light, or were, last night in Cleveland. Maybe they still are now, celebrating the Browns' victory 21-17 over Gangrene.
Number two.
Losing has Antonio Brown of the Steelers fired up.
Now it does, and there's been so much drama in Pittsburgh. Let's hear from Antonio Brown, the mercurial wide receiver, talented wide receiver, Pro Bowl, All-Pro wide receiver in Pittsburgh. Let's take a listen when he met with the media yesterday.
Personal reasons. Obviously, the coach knew where I was at. We talked between me and him. It was personal, external between the team and me and coach.
James Conner just talking again.
Now, you guys make assumptions about my emotion. You guys don't know me at all. You guys just write what you think going to get hits. Between me and you, everyone in Locker know what I stand for, know what I'm about. You know, I'm committed to this program, this organization. I'm fully here.
You weren't available on Sunday. Why did you leave?
I was available. I left early. I'm pissed off. We lost. We didn't win the game. You guys frustrated? I thought you guys around here supposed to be writing about winning. The culture should be winning. That's all that matters. That's how business is winning. A guy who used to work here, a PR guy who actually picked me up to even attend, to even be here, take a personal shot at me. But obviously, I don't want to betray. I'm still grateful to put on my uniform, grateful to be a part of this organization. I don't take that for granted.
Well, Antonio Brown, if he's like, I'm here now. Well, you should have been there after the game on Sunday, a loss to Kansas City Chiefs at Heinz Field. Number two, he said it was personal reasons. Meanwhile, he was disciplined. We have no idea what the hell the discipline was from Mike Tomlin.
But the word was used.
So take that for what it is. And you would get the vibe and feel that it was not an excused absence, that the Steelers had no idea that this was going down. There's so much drama We had McFadden on. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? This is drama that just does not go hand in hand with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's not usually this kind of stuff. Le'Veon Bell, now Antonio Brown. And it does not seem to be ending anytime soon. I thought it was just going to be all about Le'Veon Bell. And then when that got quelched, when that got squashed here, AB, I thought, all right, so the Steelers are going to be relatively quiet, even with Bradshaw yakking from out west, ripping Mike Tomlin anytime he opens up the refrigerator door. Put all that aside, I thought that was going to be the end. And it just continues day in and day out. More and more BS in Pittsburgh.
Let me say this quickly in Antonio Brown's defense. I think the trade me tweet was taken completely out of context by people. That was not a trade demand. That was a response to a guy saying that Antonio Brown is the product of the Steelers. So his response was, well, put me somewhere else and see what can happen. It wasn't, I want out of Pittsburgh. So I'll give him some slack on that. But the rest of the stuff he said yesterday, don't tell me it was a personal reason when you then get in trouble. It can't be, because then Mike Tomlin's a jerk. Like, if you had to go somewhere because your kid was sick or your wife needed something or your closet fell apart or your basement was flooded and you needed to stay home, like, you shouldn't get in trouble for those things. So if he was disciplined in any way, then what he did on Monday wasn't allowed. And I know reporters can get carried away, but a lot of the things that he's gotten upset about have been about people talking and reporting and discussing his behavior.
Right.
It's his behavior.
No doubt.
The stupid video in the locker room, his anger on the sideline at times, other things he's said publicly in the past. Like, if I talk about you being a dope sometimes, you're a dope.
Yes.
And it's my job to discuss it. So just everyone.
Well, no, the job of the reporters in Pittsburgh is to talk about winning.
Yeah, which is another thing. Reporters are not team employees.
Run around with the pom-poms.
No, of course not. Is it nice when the team you're covering is good? Of course it is, but
yeah,
it's not
your
concern.
Yeah, it makes your job more enjoyable.
Exactly.
Who wants to cover a team that sucks?
I just, in general, I would like a little more self-awareness from Antonio Brown.
No, I get it. I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't have my hopes up.
I mean, maybe I'll hop on Facebook Live. Do that.
Yeah.
No?
I don't think so.
Twitter, you think he's done?
I think he should be. Take a break. Just sit one out for a little bit.
No.
And they do suck, by the way. He was right about that as well.
Yeah, the Steelers are terrible. They really are. I don't know. They're going to win some point in time. But last week, the Chiefs sent a message. You want to talk about message game? Patrick Mahomes. Let's go.
Number three.
Bring on Sunday and more NFL football.
Yeah, a lot of very fascinating storylines. Whether it be Falcons and Saints down in Atlanta, the return of Carson Wentz, a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. The health of Aaron Rodgers' left knee now going on the road against a Redskins team that's probably decidedly average. Patricia taking on his former team. It's a fascinating NFL Sunday. What you hope for, AB, is this. Is the games are just as entertaining this week as they were a week ago.
Well, and if you're me...
That's going to be impossible.
What you hope for is that the plans that your wife and kids have don't change and you can be on the couch by yourself for the first time in this NFL season for a large amount of hours to watch football unbothered. Haven't had the beauty of that yet, Moose, but this Sunday is lining up well.
That's nice. Good
yeah.
for you.
For Saints, Falcons,
where are they going?
Chiefs,
where's
Niners.
Your, where's your wife and daughter going?
There is a fundraiser at the local German restaurant / beer garden. Big outside setup. There's rise. There's face painting. There's bands. All our friends are going. And
good for you, man.
I've asked out. And my request has been obliged.
Really? Good for
yeah.
you, man. That's great.
Yeah.
So you're going to be drinking?
No, I don't. You know what? I do have to do a little bit of work on Sunday.
You go chicken wings?
I haven't gotten as far as that yet.
You go wedge?
Chinese? No, we might go sandwich.
Thai?
I feel like a good deli
Greek?
Sandwich will be necessary. A little ham and Swiss. Lettuce, tomato,
Swiss.
Mayo on a roll, maybe some Doritos.
Why don't you get a little bit more adventurous? Some ham and Swiss. What is this, a Tuesday afternoon? You're watching
that's
Sunday
fine.
Football.
Sorry, I'm a simple
you go
man.
Go bag of chips?
Doritos.
Oh, Doritos. Cool Ranch?
No, probably original, although Cool Ranch is really growing on me.
Oh, yeah.
Thought they were disgusting for the longest time.
So
stuck
let me
to
get
my...
this straight.
Yeah.
Let me paint the picture.
Please.
So your wife and
I'll hang
your
up
daughter
and
are away.
And my son, too. Yeah, get him out as well.
Right. All your kids are away.
Yep.
Everyone's gone.
Yep.
You have the house to yourself.
Correct.
You're going to sit there and watch football, eating a ham and cheese sandwich and eating Doritos.
I mean,
come on, man.
No, but it's not ham.
It's a little depressing.
I don't think so. It sounds wonderful to me.
Wonderful. You're going to get it on a wedge?
Are you going to get it on,
like, whole wheat?
What's a wedge? I'm going to get it on a Hero.
Yeah, that's a wedge.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, go to Westchester. You're from Fordham. You went to Fordham.
Which is in the Bronx.
I understand.
So I should go to Mike's Deli and get a good Italian Hero.
It's close to Westchester.
It is.
If you go to an Italian deli in the Bronx and you say, can I have a wedge, they'll know what you're talking about.
I'm going to be there tomorrow. Challenge accepted.
I guarantee it.
Okay.
I guarantee it. Video that.
I'll Facebook Live it.
So you're gonna be there tomorrow, and you're gonna get an Italian wedge tomorrow, Italian Hero tomorrow.
Maybe I'll take a walk to the legendary Arthur Avenue, one of the best little Italian conclaves in America, and
fantastic.
I'll hit up Mike's Deli, and I'll make the order on a wedge, and I'll see what happens.
Spice up your life a little bit.
Do it for you, Moose.
Do something. Don't go ham.
What's
and cheese.
The Moose go-to sandwich?
Chicken cutlet, mozzarella, roasted red pepper. A little oil and vinegar.
Okay.
On a Hero.
All right. Now, I don't think that's as, you know, by leaps and bounds better than my delicious ham and Swiss.
I could also add to that, I could put a little pesto spread.
Okay.
You go to a nice deli, they'll have a pesto spread. You could put that, roasted red pepper, fresh mozzarella, regular chicken cutlet.
You know what? I've discovered relatively recently a really good sandwich condiment, coleslaw.
Yes. My wife loves it. Coleslaw on turkey.
Yeah.
Yes, with a little Russian.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the deli by me actually puts a little corned beef on that sandwich. Corned beef, turkey, Russian dressing, coleslaw. That bad boy is delicious.
Yeah, they have a deli next to us. They have a special corned beef and pastrami 50-50 with coleslaw, a little Russian on it. And it's honestly, it's fantastic. It's great.
Now, I saw the other day that...
Now I'm hungry.
I know.
I just ate my breakfast.
That Hellman's put out a thing called mayo... Mayo chup, like it's a ketchup mayonnaise combination in one of their bottles.
So it's similar to what you get on a Whopper.
Heinz, not Hellman's. It was the ketchup company. But isn't that what Russian dressing is anyway?
Russian also has a little relish in it.
Ah, okay.
Russian dressing has some relish.
So that's the one difference.
Yeah, chopped up pickles, fine. That's in Russian dressing. No, it's very similar to a Whopper. Whopper has ketchup and mayo on it.
Right, that's Burger the secret King. Sauce.
No, that's Big Mac.
It's a special sauce. It's the same thing on Big Mac. It's all
you're
the
so
same.
So lost. I mean, honestly, venture out. I'm going to sit there.
I need your guidance, Moose.
Take a picture of the ham and cheese, depressing ham and cheese sandwich and a bag of Doritos.
So good. I need it right now.
As your kids are out of the house.
Will you at least heat it up?
Yeah,
heat it up. What kind
wings.
Of heathen are you?
Get a pie. Celebrate a little bit. Why don't you get a keg?
For just me?
Yeah, why not?
That'd be a little overkill.
Do something different.
Get a keg.
Do
wings.
Something different. Why don't you get a keg, invite Biseglia and Pete the Body over?
No. There's no visitors. It's just me by myself. I can do what I want, every game when I want.
We don't want anyone seeing that ham sandwich.
I must digress.
You might eat some.
If I had an afternoon by myself, I'd probably be sleeping.
I would be sleeping if it wasn't for football.
I'd be passed out on the couch.
And that might happen anyway.
And then my kids would run in and jump on me and wake me up.
Yep.
Kick me in the groin. Anyway. I digress. David Deal is going to join AB and myself coming up straight ahead. But first, football season finally underway. And if you play fantasy football, the odds are you probably already hate your team and wish you could draft again. On FanDuel, you can draft a new team every single week. It's called Daily Fantasy Sports, everyone. Get into it. Get involved. Do it at FanDuel. And you look at individual matchups, and I'll tell you, a guy that's on the rise, I think has to be Raiders wideout, Amari Cooper, who week one did nothing. Week two had double-digit receptions, and the Raiders made it be known, or let it be known, that they are going to try and do whatever they can to get Amari Cooper the football. He's a guy that I would keep an eye on, certainly moving forward. If you're not a fantasy expert, then FanDuel is clearly the place to play. FanDuel has something for everyone, and there are more ways to win than ever before. New users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. Get online. Hop online. Do it right now. Come and play with me. at FanDuel.com/CBS Sports.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Big Friday. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard David Deal, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants, Sirius XM NFL Radio, WFAN in New York. He's all over the place, works and covers the Giants locally in New York. And David, good morning. Mark Malusis, Andrew Bogus with you. Appreciate a couple minutes this morning, David.
Oh, my pleasure, Moose. I'm surprised. Are you already back? I figured if anybody was in Cleveland, just sitting in anticipation for one of those free beer fridges to open up and those chains to go down, I think it would be you.
Dave, I wish I was there. I'll tell you that. did that not look like a party or what? That was a great celebration.
Are you kidding me? Free beers, Cleveland fans? Of course they're going to go nuts.
No doubt, no doubt. And David, Andrew and I were talking about how impressed were you about what you saw from Mayfield last night?
I mean, you talk about somebody coming in cold and immediately striking with that football, coming out of his hands, knowing exactly where he's going to go with it. And it's something that you always hear, oh, make sure that you're prepared on the sidelines. You never know the current situation of what's going to take place. And there he is sitting on the sidelines with the tablet going through everything, looking at his wristband at the plays that are taking place on the field. So you almost think that there was an anticipation that they probably told him something before the game that if Tyrod wasn't playing well, that you're going to go in. So you could tell that he was prepared differently and acting differently on the sidelines than he did the first two games, just with his helmet on, looking at the wristband, doing all that stuff. And to be honest with you, I would never call anybody out or anything, but it was almost like Tyrod Taylor was looking for an excuse to get out of the game when he wasn't playing well. You look at that one where he got hit. I know, believe me, you're going to sell it a little bit more when Tremaine Johnson hit him in the head and he was selling, the personal foul injury and the hit and the flag. But all of those other times he got hit, he wasn't taking big hits, and you see him getting slow off the turf. I'm like, is he just trying to pull himself out of the game? Or does he realize the magnitude of the situation that you have the number one rookie and the number one draft pick overall sitting behind you, and as a veteran, you can't let that happen to you?
David, I want to go back to the first thing you said about Moose in Cleveland, and I feel like Moose...
Moose is everywhere. There's like three of them. I think he's cloned.
Now, that's true, but I feel like Moose should be insulted because you thought he had to go to Cleveland. Moose is Moose. Cleveland comes to him. There's a fridge being shipped here right now, so he doesn't need to move. Come on now, Dave.
I'm sure that they're perfect ones. That's hilarious.
But seriously, so about last night, when Baker comes on the field for the first time, NFL Network's got that camera in the sky right above the huddle, and everybody seemed to be pumped that Baker was out there. It almost looked to me, not that they wanted the change to happen, but they were happy that he was getting a chance to play finally.
Well, obviously you saw the excitement right away by the Browns, fan base in the stadium, where you knew that they wanted him out there. You knew they wanted to see that matchup, number one quarterback versus the number three quarterback overall taken. Well, at the same time, just look at the way that Baker directed that offense. It was exactly what you saw in Hard Knocks and the glimpses that you saw during the preseason, getting the ball out of his hands, directing the offense, yelling at the offensive line. And the other big true sign of this is look at how much Jarvis Landry responded when Baker Mayfield came in the game compared to Tyrod Taylor. Those catches that he was making, that point, the confidence that he had him, that's something that you can't quantify. When you believe and truly feel that a certain individual player makes your team better, it gives everybody more confidence to go out and execute their job, not only just offensively, but think about defensively. We talked about last year the Denver Broncos. Look at how much different their defense is playing. Granted, Bradley Chubb does make a difference, but it didn't make that much of a difference to see the type of spark that they have this year.
David, when you look at the Jets, not necessarily about Darnold, what about the criticism that now is coming out toward Bowles? We heard it last year a lot. Do you think it's fair criticism of the Jet head coach or unfair?
Well, you know, this is the thing. It's going to continue to be criticism until you realize that being 8-8 is not acceptable. Being 7-9 is not acceptable. You've had your opportunities. We've seen in these primetime games, we've had opportunities to capitalize, and you don't make up for them. Just think about how we talked about last year, how, like, they had a huge game on Thursday night against the Buffalo Bills where they're dancing on the field. And then the next week, it's like a complete shutdown and looks like a different football team. So when you play the type of game that you played up against the Lions, then you play tough but don't come through with the Dolphins, and then you have a letdown on Monday Night Football, a lot of it does come down X's and O's, but a lot of it does come down to coaching and the way that you get guys fired up and, more than anything, to fight for four-plus quarters when you have all that stuff and all the distractions on the outside trying to push you away from it.
David, I knew you were coming on this morning, so last night when Baker gets stripped and Joel Bitonio picks up the ball, tucks it, and runs for about 9 yards, dipping his head, dropping his shoulders, I thought of you right away. What's your longest run in your NFL career?
Believe it or not, my longest run would be a yard from just being able to scoop up a fumble and running with it. I was so fired up for Joel, showing a little wiggle. He lowered and dipped. He covered up the football.
Yeah.
He had it high and tight. I'm like, wait, it looks like he's done this before. Granted, as an offensive lineman, you never want to be in a situation where you're picking up a fumble from your quarterback and then running with it. But at the same time, it was awesome. Those are the things that you love to see as an offensive lineman. One time in my career, preseason, landed on the football in the end zone. We're going crazy. Me, Soybert, O'Hara, we're going nuts. Call it back. Ball's down at the one. I didn't score a touchdown.
Oh.
I've never scored a touchdown, never caught a pass, any of that stuff.
We're talking to David Deal, SiriusXM NFL Radio, WFAN, locally in New York. Covers the Giants, too. David, let's go there to the Giants. They're on the road. This is more of an intriguing game because you have two extremely desperate teams. Houston, home for the first time. They're 0-2. High expectations this year. The Giants put expectations on themselves. They're also an 0-2 team. Giants offensive line woes, people critical of Eli. You look at it, Deshaun Watson hasn't exactly been scintillating. What about this Texans-Giants matchup this Sunday down in Houston?
Well, obviously, you know, for this offense and this offensive line, you've got to find ways to manufacture and manipulate the run game so that you're not in third and longs and you're in third and manageables. Let's face it, this Houston team has always been thriving on their defense and their ability to create takeaways and create negative plays. And if you do that on the road in Houston, now you're staring at Whitney Mercilus, J.J. Watt, and possibly we think he's going to be playing Jadeveon Clowney. That is a matchup that you do not want to have. So if you can run the football and get play action going, it's going to take that extra time that Eli needs to throw the football, and it's going to get the offensive line to be able to be more aggressive instead of sitting back. Having said all of that, when blitz opportunities present themselves, it's all about executing. When you sit there and you go back and watch film, it's not like they got physically beat up each and every play. I would say that was more of an indication of what happened in the Jaguars game than the Dallas game. But the Dallas game is, it's all execution. I mean, you know, for a veteran football team and for any veteran offensive lineman to see that you have as a guard a three-technique defensive tackle outside of you, as an offensive tackle, you have the defensive end outside of that and an outside linebacker on the ground, your ears should go up. Something's happening, that there's going to be a stunt. There's going to be a blitz. There's going to be a twist. And if you don't communicate it and just take care of things offensively up front as an offensive line, you're going to continue to get beat up. So they've got to come up with some way to run the football, and they've got to be able to do it with some misdirection. Maybe a jet sweep, maybe another possible reverse with Odell Beckham Jr. to hold that backside defensive end and Will linebacker so they can run more of an inside zone running scheme. There's going to be something needed to do to take care of that. And then on the opposite side of the ball for the Giants defense, we saw Blake Bortles take off on a run. We saw Dak Prescott take out on a run. Don't you think Deshaun Watson can run with the football?
No doubt.
To be able to move the launch point? That's the thing that this Giants defense is going to have to do. They're going to have to maintain gap control and play sound defense, because the things that they've showed out on the field right now up against the mobile quarterback, you know, the Texans in their offense are still trying to get that spurt offensively, but they're going to have to use Deshaun Watson's legs in order to take something off of them, because their offensive line isn't good either. The other thing that I wouldn't be surprised is running zone read, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was some type of exotic running schemes. Like, I wouldn't say so much just wildcat, but there's going to be something different that the Houston Texans are going to do with Deshaun Watson to try sparking their football team and sparking that crowd at home.
David, we were talking about the Steelers before you came on with us. I love Mike Tomlin, but it's starting to seem like he's lost control of that team. Are they headed for maybe a different head coach next year?
Well, you'll never know. I mean, we'll see. That the only way that we'll do that is by the way that the season plays out. If they win football games, they have the production and wins at the end of the year that we think that they will, or if they don't. And one of the things that, you know, I've been asked about this also, you know, one of the things that you have in a coach in Mike Tomlin is a player's coach. Yes, that's great that you have somebody that gives you mutual respect as a player. Yes, that's great somebody treats you and trusts you as an adult that you're going to get the job done. And then on Sundays when you show up, you play, you have everything hammered out, and there's no excuse for anything that happens in regards to preparation, in regards to straight-out execution. But the way that he was able to do that was when he had a James Ferrier, when he had a James Harrison, when you have a Palomalu, when you have a Jerome Bettis, when you have an Alan Faneca. Now that all those guys are gone, you're giving that same player's mentality coaching to players that haven't earned that right yet. They don't know what it's like to exactly go through the grit, the grind, and the adversity you face in the season. They don't know exactly what it's like to fully prepare for a 17-week season plus a postseason and how to do it. So when you give those reins to a team that doesn't have the veteran leadership that they do, then you're going to see what happens in the locker room. Prime example, do you think any of those guys, James Ferrier, Faneca, would have let Antonio Brown do Facebook Live or let any of these things happen and take place in the locker room? Absolutely not. So you have to understand as a coach that there's certain times that you can do that and you can't. But you can't treat every football team the same based upon the personnel, the age, and the experience of that football team.
David, let's go up to Foxborough next. Gordon, do you, it's a gamble worth taking for New England. Do you think it pays dividends this year for the Pats, bringing Gordon aboard?
I mean, it's all based upon Josh Gordon. I mean, the sky's the limit for him athletically. We know what he can bring. We've seen in 2013 when he was healthy out there on the field, he was absolutely unstoppable. And to make that trade for the Patriots, it's a low-risk gamble on him because they're getting a healthy 27-year-old wide receiver who's a monster that can help them immediately. Having said that, when you run and you play in that system, you better know exactly where to go, where to break, where to snap off your routes. If Tom Brady tells you to be at 10, you better be at 10. If they tell you to be at meetings early, you better be at meetings early. So when they go and do those things and you become part of the Patriots way, it doesn't matter how talented you are. You have to buy in order to reap the rewards of it, or otherwise you're going to be out. We've seen where it worked with Corey Dillon. We've seen where it worked with LeGarrette Blount. We've seen where it worked with James Harrison. And the biggest one was Randy Moss. If he's able to take that same template, who knows what he's going to be capable of doing.
David, final one for me is this. You know, Wentz down in Philadelphia coming off the torn ACL. Eagle fans, what should they expect to see from Wentz at home against the Colts?
Oh, I think that they're going to come out and play the same type of game plan. They're going to come out and throw the football more downfield. I'm saying same game plan in regards to who Wentz is, not Foles is. They're going to come out and run their offense. You know that they're itching to get back out, to drive the football downfield, to get away from more of the RPOs. The biggest thing that I'm going to look at and going to be concerned about how he handles it is our third down situations. You know, last year, his ability to escape the pocket, make plays with his legs, be versatile, either run for the first down or scramble and keep his eyes downfield and throw for it, he took some big hits that way, and that's how he ended up hurting his knee, running with the football to score the touchdown in Los Angeles. So those are the things that you want to see is how is he going to be able to take the hits that are cumulative and keep getting back up. But having said that, he is really playing up against the Colts defense, so who knows if he's going to be getting that many hits put on him anyways.
Well, I'll tell you, David, what time were you up this morning, 5:30, David?
This morning I slept in. I was up at 5:45 and got my Peloton bike in.
So you're working out at 6 a.m. every morning?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I do the Peloton three times a week at either 5:45 or 6, and then the other ones I'm in the gym.
Oh, my God, David. God bless you. I mean, I give you credit. He's just constant energy, and he's fantastic at what he does. David, great job. We appreciate the time this morning, and I look forward to chatting with you on Sunday, brother.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great one, and good luck finding those free beers, Moose.
You know that. David is working out on his Peloton. I'm drinking.
We should have asked him what his go-to sandwich is on a free Sunday afternoon.
That's it. Tell you why. He probably might be more of the turkey. Very healthy. I mean, think about
grilled
he's
chicken.
Up at 5:40. If I was up at right now, if I was up at 5, well, I am up at 5:45, but if I was not doing this show and I'm up at 5:45 in the morning, I would not be going to ride the bike.
No, I'd be asleep, and then once I was awake, I'd be just looking at my Super Bowl rings.
Well, true.
But he's done a good job. I know. On a serious note, linemen have had real hard times, real health issues coming down from NFL weight, and David's obviously doing it right.
Well, he's cut down. He's got a good diet. He's lost weight. He's dropped 75 pounds from his playing weight. Used to say that I was talking to him off the air about it, that his joints used to hurt toward the tail end of his career. Now, you got to remember, you know, he retired. He was 33 years old.
Right.
You're not talking about he was 38, 39, but he said it's remarkable you get that weight off of you, how much better your body feels from carrying on all that extra weight. Anyway, good stuff there with Deal. Gave you a good feel, some of the interesting storylines this Sunday, week 3 of the NFL regular season. Bogish has been with me all morning long. He's got another update.
And our final one is brought to you by Vivid Seats. With Vivid Seats, it's easy to find awesome seats to any game, and all purchases are backed by their 100% guarantee. Go to VividSeats.com or download the app and enter promo code VividSeats at checkout to get 10% off your first order. Baker Mayfield has caught a pass for points before throwing one in the NFL.
Mayfield is in a pistol formation right now, and now he's running away from center, and the snap goes to Duke Johnson. Then they flip it around, then they throw it, and Mayfield caught it! the Philly special, Cleveland style!
Jim Donovan Brown's radio, the two-point conversion came after Carlos Hyde's first touchdown run. His second was the difference in the Browns' first win in 635 days, 21-17 over the Jets last night in Cleveland. All 21 points scored after Mayfield replaced Tyrod Taylor, who suffered a concussion late in the second quarter. Jets starting QB Sam Darnold picked off twice in the fourth. Back on the Browns side, no word yet from Hugh Jackson, who his starter will be moving forward. The Boston Red Sox are AL East champs for the third straight year after an 11-6 win at Yankee Stadium. Giancarlo Stanton, Moose, talking a good game in defeat.
They've had a solid year. I mean, you can't deny that. And you never want to be here if they get it, but you know, we gave it what we got, and, you know, they can celebrate now, and, you know, we got time to celebrate later.
Ooh, celebrate later.
Bigger,
better things.
Well, what else is he going to say? We're never going to celebrate?
Yeah, exactly.
Bisegla's trying to change the channel on the TV.
Good luck with that.
And he's been sitting there hitting the remote for, like, literally 45 seconds.
We're going to go to break in a second, and he will still be doing it when we come back. But let me tell you that Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler carding 5-under-65s yesterday to start the Tour Championship. Justin Rose is one shot
Mike,
back.
Forget about it.
Rory McIlroy, two.
Mike,
show's
stop.
Over, Mike. Tiger and Fowler tee off.
We got snow. It's
at
stopped.
Noon Mountain
we have nothing
Time
now.
In Atlanta, Georgia. Just turn the TVs off.
Is that it? The undercard. You're done? All right, Bogus is done.
Pack up. Your work here is done.
How are you able to get everything always goes to CBS? It doesn't matter. I mean, it's crazy. We're well over 2 minutes here. You can't even get it to Fox 5 here locally in New York. Anyway, come back. We got the undercard for you. It's Taz, it's Moose. AB is in the house this morning. It's CBS Sports Radio.
NFL scores, highlights, and more with Rich Ackerman and Eye on Football. Be listening Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here. It is Taz and the Moose with you on this Friday morning. Let's get to it, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Oh, it's Bawami. Bogus, you don't seem impressed.
Yeah,
individuals, when Bawami needs a bounce back, he picks against the Buffalo Bills. I'm taking Minnesota, minus all the points in the world, against the Buffalo Bills. As you must.
There you go. So Minnesota, Bawami went with my selection, all the points in the world.
Mm.
So Bawami's laying the 16.5 Vikings at home against the Buffalo Bills.
I know Bawami
was... That's a hell of a pick. Bawami, 0-2 on the year, looking to get off the schneid, looking to get himself a winner. There you go.
Hence me being unimpressed by Bawami. And I know he was being hyperbolic there, minus all the points in the world, but if we were to take that literally, the Vikings couldn't beat the Bills because the Bills would have all the points in the world.
Have a little fun.
I'm trying to.
I mean,
Making Bawami angry is one of my favorite games.
Well, I understand. Bawami is going to be ticked off. He's going to start taking shots at you, correct?
I'm ready.
I can feel it coming just from my interaction with him.
Right.
At least he'd eat a hot sandwich on Sunday.
Yeah, well, Bawami would. Like, can I get
strike
tuna?
Two
can
on Bawami.
Can I get tuna on whole wheat and some Doritos?
Tuna melt. Get
with
out.
With the crust.
With the crust.
Veggie chips.
CBS Those Sports Radio's toll-free line. I mean, come on. Bogus, please. Do us all a favor. Make sure, tweet out your Sunday meal. I want a picture on Sunday of your meal while your children are away, mm-hmm. while your wife's away. You have the entire homestead to yourself.
Yeah.
I want to know exactly what you're eating. Be a little adventuresome. You're going to get a turkey and cheese, turkey and Swiss on a roll with lettuce, tomato, and mayo?
Ham and Swiss.
Oh, ham and Swiss.
Lettuce, tomato, mayo on a wedge with a pickle on the side.
God.
Doritos.
So boring, dude.
I'm sorry. I'm having an exotic CBS chicken colored in roasted peppers.
Oh, my God. Such a good sandwich.
Calm down, Moose.
Well, once you eat that sandwich, you're ready for a nap. At least I am. You get a nice warm blanket, a pillow,
hibernation
cozy up on
time.
The couch, and you fall right to sleep. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. I've tried to read this 5 times. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tony in Dallas. Bigger accomplishment, Red Sox win division or Browns win a game? Don't forget. Think about that. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. I actually think the Browns winning a game. Think about all the ineptitude they had to deal with.
Yes.
The fact that they should have won last week. They should have won the previous week. The place kicker dooming them. They've been the better football team the first 2 weeks. The Jets come into town, short work week. Your quarterback gets knocked out. In steps Baker Mayfield. Even though you might love him, you have no idea how he is going to play. The Browns winning a football game for the first time in over 600 days?
Congrats to them. But the Red Sox winning the division by this many games is my vote. Context. It's about context.
You always take swipes.
Leaving the Yanks in the dust.
Well, why are they taking swipes at the Yankees? Are going to be a playoff team.
In the dust.
They're playing in October.
For a game.
Hey, at least the Mets are finishing the season strong, right?
How about that? Setting the groundwork for next year.
Right.
Look out.
Buy in. They're coming together as a group.
Get your season tickets
World Series tickets.
As I asked superfan Jim Brewer, who joined us earlier in the week off the air, I go, when have you been locked in the Mets? He goes, I haven't followed them since July.
And this is a guy who was overwhelming your Twitter feed with screaming videos about Mets wins.
Really?
Like, what
goes,
are the Mets?
Yeah, June killed it.
Who's
Once
Jeff McNeil?
June transpired, it was over. Nothing to watch. I was like, all right, Jim. He was great, by the way. You can check it out on our podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts. Our thanks, Mikey B, Pete the Body, Andrew, AB. Great job this morning.
Thanks,
brother.
Moose.
You got it. Enjoy your Friday, everybody. Keep it locked right here. CBS Sports Radio. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.